saints of all the ages fill its ranks. O'er the sands of time they're marching to their king's great coronation. And this could be the dawning of that day. When the face of Jesus we behold, dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning, and this could be the dawning of that day. Jesus we behold, dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning, and this could be the dawning of that day. Dreams and hopes of all
thank you, men. That was a blessing. And this could be the dawning of that day. You still believe that Jesus is coming again, don't you? I hope you never lose that precious truth and the reality that one day, could be today, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the archangel is going to shout. The trumpet's going to sound. Jesus is going to come. And it's all over here for the child of God and the work of the church. We're going to be called out to meet Him in the air. Great tribulation will begin. Tribulation and great tribulation for a period of 7 years on this earth. If you're saved, you're going to be a part of the crowd in heaven at that time. If you're not saved, you're going to be part of what's going on here. Sure glad you're here today. Thank you so much. I hope you'll pick up the announcer and you'll read Brother Lassiter's article in there this week. What is a good article, and I pray you'll read it and practice it. It's needed in every church. And then let me challenge you to be active and involved in our backyard Bible clubs this week, next week, and it's this week. Today's Sunday, isn't it? Beginning of a new week. Starts Monday. And we're going to have about 27 clubs, 14 in the English, 13 in the Spanish. And we're excited about what God's going to do. Be sure and pray for the workers, and pray for that ministry. And by the way, let me encourage encourage you, if you're not involved in a club, to find out where a club's meeting and go over and take your New Testament and be there and be a soul winner. Because there's going to be people standing around that are listening to the Word of God, and that somebody can take the gospel and lead them to Christ. Open your Bible now to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. We shall begin to read in verse number 7 and read through verse 14. If you found your place, would you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God? And I shall begin to read in verse number 1. Follow quietly as I read. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, verses 7 through 11 are dealing with the Word of God. Listen to what God says about His Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Thank God there's hope for all of us. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now I want us to look again at verse 14, and I'll use that verse as the basis of my message this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. There's the two areas where we get into most trouble. What we say from our mouth and what we think. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to speak today on this subject, my strength and my Redeemer. Heavenly Father, help me this morning that I might preach this message with liberty and power. Thank you for the wonderful week you gave me last week, preaching in Mexico City. Thank you for the Christians, for the saints of God that gathered, sometimes 7,000 and 8,000 in number, to be in those services. Thank you for the preachers that are standing on the Word of God and preaching and building churches. Oh God, would you break our hearts in America again for thy Word and thy work? Lord, we've grown so selfish, so presumptuous, so self-satisfied, our minds on 1,000 different things than the will of God for our life. Oh, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, if we do not see revival here in America, it won't be long until churches in Mexico will be sending missionaries to America to try to evangelize the deadness in our nation. Help us to wake up. Lord, we've been presumptuous in our spiritual life. We've thought it's always going to be the same. We've not been careful to maintain our walk with God and our relationship with you. Our churches are filled today with people who doubt and question their faith. They have no peace. There's no certainty. There's no assurance. And there is no hope without assurance. Now, Lord, speak through me today. Use me as thy voice and thy servant to preach the message you've given me to preach. And do a work in every heart, starting with this preacher and the staff behind me. And work all the way to the furthest parts of this building and to the people who are listening to my voice. We'll thank you in advance for what you shall do. Save every unsaved person on this property today, we beg you. Revive the backslider. Reclaim him from his hog pen. Bring him back to that place of fellowship and relationship with you once again. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I'm concerned about the uncertainty among the professing Christians of today. There is a lack of reading the Bible. There is a lack of studying the Bible. And there is great trouble among so-called believers in believing the very Word of God. I don't really know what they believe. And they don't know what they believe. One thing I'm sure, by the lives that are being lived among so-called Christians today, they have problems with this book. They don't have the assurance of real eternal salvation. Their lives for the Lord and His church are hot and then cold. They're in and then out. They'll pick up and move here and go there, and they let jobs be the guide for their life instead of God being the guide. No wonder the unsaved world stands back with no desire to possess the uncertainty and instability they see in much of the religious world today. Only when we get back and follow the Word of God can God's people have a sense of certainty and peace and stability about them. Then they can say, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We can say, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Only then can we say, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything concerning His will, He heareth us. There is no assurance and no confidence without God's Word established in our heart and in our life. It seems that many of this generation have forfeited the peace and assurance that's provided in Christ to follow some new philosophy. I'm concerned today about some of the religious world. Many Baptists are in it. People with popular names like Bill Clinton and Al Gore and Jimmy Carter and Oprah. In this new religion of inclusion, no matter what you believe. They're saying, in this new religion, and that's what they're producing, don't take the Bible literally. Well, listen, my dear friends. A Bible believer believes the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, you're not a Bible believer. And don't get scared of being a fundamentalist. Now, the news media have ruined the word fundamentalist by associating it with every terrorist group and wacky group in the nation. But when I say I'm a fundamental Baptist, it means I believe this is the Word of God, and I believe God says what He means and means what He says. It means I take the Word of God literally, except in those places where He tells me to take it figuratively. Got to get back to the book. Our generation is overeducated, is an overeducated generation who has said that God's Word is not true. Anyone who says that is educated beyond their intelligence. The same religious group of today does not believe that you can know that you're saved, nor that this salvation is eternal. Their goal is to get us away from the literal belief and literal interpretation of Scripture. What they want to do is make a bunch of religious fools out of us. Get back to the Bible. Stay with the Bible. God said it. That ought to settle it in our life. God's provision for our soul and spiritual well-being is not in not a state of uncertainty. Throughout the Bible, those who knew Christ as their Savior and God as their God had peace and assurance in their soul, no matter the circumstances they were facing. Many today know nothing about that. Perhaps we can find in the words of David the answer to the void that's in so many people living today. I believe the words of our text, a verse or a testimony of what Christianity ought to be in every age. Listen to it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I want to point out five things about the Christian as seen in the words of our text. Number one, the Christian is one who can say of a certainty that he has been saved and is this very day saved. Once you get saved, it does not change from day to day. The psalmist said, my Redeemer. My Redeemer. He's talking about a definite Savior and a definite salvation from sin and hell. My Redeemer. He agrees with the Bible when it says there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He agrees, the Christian agrees with the Bible and with Jesus when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Our verse tells us of a definite salvation and a personal, definite Savior. My Redeemer. My Redeemer. Thank God I can say my, a personal salvation. God doesn't have grandchildren. You don't go to heaven because mom and daddy were saved. You don't automatically get in because somebody in your family is a Christian. You got to make him your Savior. Personally, individually, definitely, my Savior, my Savior. Even the Old Testament saints had a certainty about their faith. By the way, faith always equals hope. And without faith, there is no hope. Faith doesn't produce doubt and uncertainty. The Bible produces faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Bible produces faith, and faith produces hope. Not uncertainty, not question marks, not a life of confusion. Abraham was justified by faith. Even in his most difficult trials, he was filled with assurance and hope. When God had commanded him to offer his own son, and that son said, Daddy, here's the wood and there's the altar, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, My God shall provide himself a sacrifice. faith equals hope. Job said in the oldest book of the Bible, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's out of the oldest book in the Bible, written in time before Genesis was written. Here's a man that had faith. And faith equals hope. And he saw beyond this old world. He knew a Savior. He knew a salvation. And he was personal and certain in his heart and life. Every saint and every servant of God in the Bible had a definite faith, a personal faith, a certain faith, eternal and complete salvation. There is no such thing as salvation for a little while and then you can lose it. Salvation provided by God from the Old Testament or New Testament is eternal in Jesus Christ. They looked forward by faith to the promise. We look back by faith to the promise. We're all saved by grace through faith. They displayed their faith differently than we display it today. Salvation was complete in Christ Jesus. Secondly, may I say the Christian is a person who should be concerned about his daily walk and personal relationship with Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Are they? Do you get up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and walk in such a way that God is pleased with your life? That word walk is talking about your way of life. Your meditation is what you think on. Do you guard your thought life? You say, preacher, I can't help what I think. Yes, you can. You say, but I think wrong. Do you ever confess it as wrong? Do you ever ask God to clean up your thought life? Do you ever get concerned that it's not pleasing to God? Let the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. That's talking about living for Jesus as a Christian. If our thinking right and our walk and our talk is right, our testimony is going to be right. Say, preacher, how can I control what I think? You can control it through your prayer life, through what you read and what you watch and what you hear. You can't take garbage and sin in here and here and here and not think garbage and sin in here. That's the reason the Bible tells us that in presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, we're to renew our mind also. How do we renew our mind? Reprogram it by the Word of God. Confess your sin. Acknowledge your sin. When those wrong thoughts flood through here, don't give in to them. Ask God to deliver you from them. And put the Word of God in here. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You have trouble with your walk and with your talk and your thoughts. It's telling me that you have trouble also spending time in the book, the Word of God. He said, my Redeemer, my Savior. He said, now I'm concerned about my daily walk and my personal relationship with Christ. And here's where most of us get in our trouble, mouth and meditation of our heart. What we say and think. And by the way, we say it after we think it. Too often we speak before we put our mind into gear. I'm sad to say that some Christians today have a mouth that's as dirty as a garbage truck and a heart that's as vile as a cesspool. They put the wrong things in here. Sin begins in our thought process first. And then our thinking leads to actions where we commit the sin that we've been thinking about. Well, preacher, I just couldn't help myself. It just happened. No, it didn't happen. You've been thinking about it. You've been planning it. You've been looking for opportunity. You didn't flee youthful lust. You didn't confess your thought life that's wrong to God. God wants us not only to be concerned about our eternity, He wants us to give careful consideration to our mouth, how we speak, and our meditation, what we think upon. And we'd better learn this fact. If our life does not please God today, what right do you have to think it'll please Him when you stand before Him in heaven? You say, but I'm saved and that's all that matters. Oh, it's wonderful to be saved, but it's not all that matters. God saved you so you could live for Him and glorify Him and honor Him with your life. I say to you, the sorriest person in this world is the person that uses Jesus as a fire escape from hell and continue to live on their wretched life for the devil. How's your mouth and meditation this morning? Thirdly, the Christian is a person who has recognized Christ as owner of all things. And even our life and possessions belong to Him. The psalmist said, O Lord, Master, Owner, Supreme One, Lord. Oh, Lord, we say it often, do you mean it? If He's not the Lord, the owner, then why worry about eternity and judgment? Why be concerned about being called into account for your life and actions? But He does own you and me and everything we possess. We are His by creation. And if you're saved, you're His by redemption. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. The Bible makes that very clear. We're to glorify Him in our body, which is the Lord's. If you claim to be a Christian and Jesus is not Lord of your heart, Lord of your life, then what you've really become is a rebel Christian. Oh, I'm not saying that you're not saved unless you make Him Lord. I'm saying because you have been saved, there ought to be a time where you grow to the place you make Him Lord of your life. And if you never grow to that place, then something's wrong with your walk and your talk with the Lord. If He is our owner, if He is our Lord, then we'll give Him our first love. We'll give Him obedience and loyalty. We'll give Him any portion of our life and possessions He desires, if He's Lord. If He's not, you'll go on living like some of you have chosen to live today. You don't give God your tithe, you just tip Him a little. That's mockery. That's mockery. That's saying, yeah, I recognize you're God, but you're not much. I'm here to tell you He's everything. He's our life, our strength, our breath, our hope, our message. He's our Savior, our God, our Lord, our future. He's everything. He wants you to love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He wants to be the first love and have first place in your heart. He wants every one of us to be busy about His first work. Oh Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Fourthly, the Christian has a life that is secure for time and eternity. The psalmist said, Oh Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You see, he could say that because he knew that salvation is not of human strength, but of God's strength. Therefore, he is secure. The psalmist knew that we do not save ourselves. Christ saves us. Therefore, we are secure. The psalmist knew that he was not trusting in his keeping power, but in God's keeping power. Therefore, he was secure. It is not my strength that saves or my strength that keeps, my strength that blesses. It's his. Therefore, I'm saved. I'm sure. And I'm secure. I can say he is my strength and my redeemer. I shall not fear. I can say he is my shield and my buckler. I'll not be afraid. I can say he is my rock and my refuge. And the storms of trouble and trials cannot destroy me. He is my anchor that holds me secure in his grace. He is my light. He is my comfort. He is my peace. He has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I am at peace and I'm secure. I love the old song, "When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, he'll stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, he'll stand by me. In the midst of tribulations, he'll stand by me. When the host of hell assails and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, he'll stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, he'll stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, he'll stand by me. When I do the best I can and friends don't understand, thou who knowest all about it, he'll stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, he'll stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, yes, he'll stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, oh, thou lily of the valley, he'll stand by me. He's my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. And I must ask you this morning, aren't you tired of uncertainty? Aren't you tired of days of doubt and nights of fear? You know why you have those, don't you? Because you don't have him. And you don't have his book. I'm telling you today, dump your doubts and uncertainty in the garbage where they belong. Dump your think so or maybe so salvation. Get rid of it. It's not of God. Come to Christ Jesus today. Make him your Savior. Make him your strength. Make him your Redeemer. Make him your certainty. Make him your hope. When he saves you, he'll do it completely. And he'll put the Holy Spirit of God in your heart to be your assurance. And the more you read the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit will increase the faith in your heart. And the more you'll have peace and confidence. I ask you to accept him today as your Savior. Begin a personal, daily walk with him. Surrender your all to his lordship and ownership. Don't hold back on God. Don't hold back. Don't think you can do for yourself more than God can do for you. Yield it all to him. Put your trust in his strength. His strength to save you and not your strength. You do understand it's not your prayer that saves you. It's God that saves you. A young man can be drowning in the lake, hollowing, and he can holler, "Help me! Help me! Save me!" And if nobody responds, he'll drown. It's not his cry that saves him. Ah, but somebody hears his cry and reaches out his hand and pulls him to safety. Yes, he was saved, but it was not his cry that saved him. It was the man that reached out. And may I say to you, there is a nail-scarred hand reaching out to you today. When you cry out to Jesus Christ, your cry doesn't save you. Your Bible doesn't save you. Your preacher doesn't save you. Your church doesn't save you. Your confession does not save you. Jesus, hearing that, reaches out and gives you life everlasting and forgiveness of sin. Write your name in heaven and puts the Holy Ghost of God in your heart as assurance. Trust Him today. Dump your doubts. Dump your fears. Get rid of your uncertainty. If your salvation is just, I hope I'm saved, salvation, get rid of it. You can have certainty today, but not without Jesus Christ. You can be saved and know it today, but not without accepting Christ. You can have peace in your heart and joy in your soul and direction for your life, but not without Jesus Christ. Trust Him today. Accept Him today. Claim Him today as your Savior. And then once you do, write this day in your Bible as the day you have personally accepted Christ as Savior. In my mama's Bible at home, she wrote down August the 23rd, 1954, when I accepted Jesus. Now, I couldn't remember that date. I can't forget the experience, but I didn't remember the date until I saw where she had written it down. And I was so thrilled that I not only know that I'm saved, but because Mama wrote it down, I know the day I was saved. August the 23rd, 1954. When you get saved, write that date down as the date that you accepted Christ and He became your Lord, your strength, and your Redeemer. And every time the old devil raises his eyebrow toward you and say, "Do you really think it's real?" Open up and say, "There it is. On that date, I put my trust in Jesus. I stopped believing your lies. I accepted Jesus as my Savior." And there is a voice within every Christian bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, and that's the Holy Spirit within you. And if you don't have that witness within you, then you've never accepted Him as your Savior. Do it today. Trust Him today. Accept Him today. The fact that this generation is searching for something that they have not found, and they continue on in their uncertainty, can be summed up by the simple fact that you need Jesus and the peace that comes only in Him. Invite Him to be your Savior. Allow Him to become your strength, your Redeemer, your hope, your life. Accept Him today so you can say with the psalmist, "O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the hope You give us in Christ Jesus.